Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Looking forward to another few moments with you to encourage you to let God be real in your life. Amen. How many of you are starting to get answers to your prayers by listening to some of these things? By just changing your perspective enough where God starts to work in your life. Now, He's been trying to work in our lives forever. But if we don't recognize it, if we don't pay attention to it, then we don't begin to build that consistency of the relationship where it begins to actually become more and more tangible. Wow. Let's share those testimonies with everybody we can. Let them know that God actually does come off the pages of our Bibles and gets into our lives. Well, Jesus gave us an invitation over in Matthew 11, verse 27 and to verse 30, where he said, Jesus resumed now talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Amen. Well, we've been talking over in John chapter 3. And of course, we're still kind of relating our thoughts right here, and they're going to change just a little bit, relating our thoughts to what's actually normal, regular, to be expected versus what seems to be more like a lottery ticket with 200 million to one odds where you're just not sure it's going to happen and you sure don't go out and try to get a new loan for something that you don't know you can pay for because you're not sure you're going to win. Do you know when you meet Jesus Christ, everybody that meets him gets a lottery ticket. And guess what? Every ticket that comes from Jesus is a winning ticket. Amen. He's blessed us immeasurably with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that translates into all your needs being met abundantly upon this earth. Amen. So over in John chapter 3, we've been looking at some things because there's so many things that show us how that Jesus and his relationship with the Father is something to be embraced as though that's now us in our relationship with Christ. We're not working for this. This is something that Jesus did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Is he made a way for us to have the exact same relationship with the Father and have all the same advantages that he himself enjoys. And we can enjoy those as well. So I want to take you over to verse 13 of John chapter 3, because after Jesus is talking here to Nicodemus and trying to get across to him some of the most simple but very profound truths that you must be born again, Nicodemus struggled with that, and Jesus began to relate it to the wind that blows here and there. You don't see the wind, but you do see what the wind does. He began to relate it to how a little baby, when it's born, you can tell that it's a baby. You can touch the flesh, but the person on the inside is someone you don't see. That person is spirit, and you must be born again of the spirit. And as much as Nicodemus didn't understand what was going on, Jesus said to him things like this. He said in verse 12, he said, I tell you things that are as plain as the hand before your face, and you still don't believe me. Well, what was he saying? Verse 11, he said, I speak only what I know by experience, and I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. What was Jesus actually telling us? Well, he's telling us in this new redemptive reality. In other words, on this side of the cross, born again in Christ, what is he telling us but that we can also see things and witness them firsthand, and that we can tell things that we've experienced firsthand as well. No hearsay, no secondhand. These are experiences that we have from God. Well, in verse 13, it says, no one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. And I shared over in the New King James Version, it says, he that hath ascended is also he that hath descended, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And that shows us that Jesus, while he was walking in the flesh on this earth, he was living out of heaven. You remember Jesus made comments, we've already shared some of these, how he said over in John chapter 5, he said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. John chapter 12, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. So was Jesus constantly in contact with his Father? That was his lifeblood, folks. His contact with the Father to continually be in the presence of the Father in such a tangible relationship is the reason why he navigated on the earth without ever sinning, tempted in all points yet without sin. Why? Because his connection to spiritual things from his Father was stronger than his fleshly connection to the world. This is how we gain traction. It's our relationship is the exact same relationship that Jesus had with his Father. You know, if you aren't experiencing these things right now, and I'm experiencing a certain level, does that mean I stop and just plateau? No. How does a relationship with God ever stop? You're in relationship with the funnest person, with the greatest person, with the most knowledgeable person, with a person who makes sure that all your needs are met, and you're going to stop and go back to what? What can we go back to? There's nothing that compares to a relationship with God. Now notice, I didn't talk about the relationship with God as you reading more scriptures and you doing more penance and you trying harder. No, that's religion, folks. And by the way, having a real relationship with God means you'll want to read the Bible because it will just encourage that relationship. It will open your mind and heart with other people's experiences that you see in the scriptures to how you can relate to God even more relationally with greater tangible experiences. You know, the ceiling to your faith is your ability to imagine something beyond what you know. So if I hear somebody testify about what Jesus has done for them, like last week we heard, the week before, we heard some things concerning Becky and her experience there at Aldi, the grocery store, and she didn't have a quarter to bring with her. But there were, she asked the Lord, will you take care of this? Because I've sown many quarters into others that didn't have. Can I have a harvest on that? She got there and there was a cart that was separated from the others. And sure enough, it had a quarter in it where she could just go ahead and use that. Then she noticed there were three other quarters that were sitting right by the wall where the carts were. Well, she left them for someone else, but the Lord showed her that was her harvest. She could have taken those quarters, but most likely, even if she knew that that was her harvest, she probably would have left them and said, I'm going to sow some more seed. He gives seed to the sower. Hallelujah. And look at how God wants to be involved. This is where we're at. Walking in this physical body, but learning how to live out of heaven. Well, verse 14 goes on to say, in the same manner or the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up. And everyone who looks at him trusting and expectant will gain a real life, eternal life. Notice what we're seeing there is living our lives with an expectation and a trust in him because we're looking at him, we're fellowshipping with him, is how we gain real life, eternal life. In other words, more and more of this life on the inside. I'll tell you a story real quickly here. I wasn't going to tell you this, but it just popped up in my mind, and I think it's a really good one to tell. A good friend of mine, David Horton, a wonderful evangelist and minister of the gospel, that has been in the work of God for longer than I have, and he grew up in Pentecost, and so he's seen things I still haven't seen. Wonderful minister. He did a lot of meetings with T.L. Osborne overseas, and so he has a fresh story from T.L. Osborne. He shared, T.L. Osborne did, with David how years and years ago, being friends with F.F. Bosworth, who is the author of Christ the Healer. And if you'll notice anything, if you've read that book, the 11th chapter is where you need to focus. And that is a chapter on the life of God, where F.F. Bosworth makes this statement. If you can get enough of the life of God working in you, it'll begin to live on its own. Now, on one hand, I'd like to rephrase that because we're filled with eternal life. So if you can allow the life that's in you to begin to work in you, you don't have to go find it. It's already in you. But if you can allow that life to begin to work in you in a sufficient measure, it'll begin to live its own life. In other words, it will start to do things for you without you actually having to orchestrate what it's going to do. You'll just give the life of God such place in your life that you will give the life of God, the presence of the Lord, freedom to do what it does. Amen. And so the story goes on to say this. T.L. told David that one night, F.F. Bosworth called him up and said, could you and Daisy, Daisy was T.L.'s wife, could you and Daisy come over to the house? I need you guys to come. Well, they went over to the house, and here he was, propped up on some pillows on the bed. He was about 83, maybe 84 years of age. And they asked him, he said, well, what did you call us over for? Are you doing okay? He said, yeah, I'm doing fine. He said, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to leave this life and go off into the next one. And they said, okay. He said, but the problem is I've talked about and focused on the life of God in my body for so long. My body's so healthy, it won't let me go. He said, I need the two of you to help pray me over into glory. He said, now I called you specifically because I knew you wouldn't think I was off my rocker and you would actually believe with me. And they said, well, we will. And they began to pray that night. And surely enough, the presence of the Lord began to get really strong, where they began to sense the tangibleness of God in that room. And he sat up thinking that he was going. And he said, well, I thought I was, but I guess I'm not. He said, can you come back tomorrow? They said, sure. They came back the next night and the same thing happened. I thought I was, but I'm not. Can you come back tomorrow? And on the third night, maybe the third night was the charm, who knows? Or maybe they just got to where they were becoming so accustomed to that place in the spirit, they were able to press on a little further. And the presence of God became so real as they began to pray that third night. And in the midst of their prayer, the time that they spent to do so, he sat up, looked at him and said, well, I'll see you on the other side, laid back down, and he went on home. Isn't that amazing that the life of Jesus Christ is living in you? And the more you concentrate on him, remember our scripture over in Matthew 11, 27 to 30? Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. When you begin to keep company with him and the very life of God and look expectantly unto Jesus, aren't you thankful that the eternal life of Jesus Christ will begin to operate in your life and in your body and in your mind in such degrees that you will find yourself becoming a new person in Christ? Amen. Verse 16, we know this verse is wonderful. It says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go through all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put a world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. These things we're sharing right now, I'm going to continue, but I'm going to go a little bit of a different direction, but it still has the same particular thought process to it. There's so many different ways that God has allowed us through his scriptures to see the plan of God very clearly. Why are there so many different ways? Because there are so many different people who are individuals that see things differently. So God, through Christ, has given us so many wonderful stories and ways to say the same thing until everybody can get it, that God desires to have a family. And when you come to know him, you can shed off of your life the old life that you were, because you're not that old person anymore. He makes everything brand new. And the quicker that you get into an understanding of what God has done for you, that you are a spiritual being made in the image and likeness of God, the quicker you will begin to experience the presence of the Lord. Well, I want to share with you just real quickly something that I believe will be helpful to you. But you know, the more tangible God becomes in your hands, the easier it is for you to release that anointing into people and see wonderful results. So I want to share with you that the things that we're talking about are the things that I feed on. And as I begin to feed on and begin to allow God to be real in my life, the more tangible he becomes. We've seen some wonderful things begin to happen in the services that we've seen. People's lives changed one after the other. People beginning to walk when they couldn't walk. People's bones changing and moving. We've seen people with bones that were broken instantaneously. The change would happen and all of a sudden the pain would disappear. I've seen carpal tunnel syndrome in people. I've seen it disappear as well until their hands and their wrists were perfectly whole. We've watched God do this over the years, time in and time again. And I'm telling you, my focus is always on letting God become real within my soul. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion with the Holy Ghost, bringing Jesus into a very clear picture within your heart and in your mind will cause God to become real. And when you pray for people, you're not praying for them anymore in the type of lifeless prayers we've known of the past. Now you're actually imparting into them something that comes directly out of heaven, so that you're actually making them well, not just praying so that they would be well. Do you know Jesus said over in that great commission in Mark chapter 16, he said, pray, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. One translation said, lay hands on the sick and make them well. The ability to make them well is the ability to transmit God's wonderful living presence that comes right out of your very heart, through the very cortex of the cells of your brain, into the cells and bones of your body, until it comes right out of your hands and goes into their flesh and turns them loose and sets them free. Amen. Well, we have told so many wonderful stories to tell you, and we'll continue to do so week after week. Go ahead and subscribe to us on Adventures in Grace YouTube channel, or go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. We want you to share testimonies, so go to jimhockaday.com and find the email, which is jhm@jimhockaday.com. Share with us your testimonies, and we'll share them with others, that we might all expand in our ability to think bigger than we've thought before. Why? Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, the Amplified says, infinitely beyond your highest prayers, desires, hopes, thoughts, or dreams, according to the power that works in you. We'll see you next time on Adventures in Grace.